Welcome to the podcast of the universe. Warning. Steve is on his bullshit again. Let's start the show.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. New theme music. Not sure if I'll keep it, but I made it, so I'll use it at least once. In these weird days, I find myself downloading all kinds of apps, and this is one that was a drum pad app, and I wanted to have a kind of 80s horror theme sound, and that was the result. So we're back with a mini-sode. Well, when I say we, I should say I am back. Hats is not allowed into the house, and part of that is due to the Rona. I'll be sending him the audio, and we'll see if he can clean up what I've done. And I know I take jabs at poor old Hats, but I sincerely hope his loved ones stay healthy and find the strength in being cooped up with him. Little housekeeping, we have two new countries listening, bringing the total to 39 countries. Number 38 was Switzerland. There seems to be a few hellos in Switzerland, depending on the region. So I'll give an informal salut. And number 39 was Panama. And to Panama, I say buenas. So there hasn't been a mini-sode in a while, and today's topic has been on my list for a while, so I thought I'd cross it off. Quick two updates on the last two shows. Number one, still no tulpa, if you can believe it. No tulpa in the St. John Harbor. Number two, there have been zero reported cases of the Rona in our hollow earth. So I think now more than ever, we need to go. Speaking of the Rona, it's everywhere. It's saturating everything. Online, TV. I think the daily updates are good. But if you follow it all day long, Jesus Christ, you'd go mad. And I'm no scientist, so I can only say and stay in as much as possible and wash the items you bring in your house. I've been doing grocery pickups where you just put the order in online, pull up in front of the store, they put it in the back, you go home, and you wash everything down. Now, the only thing rivaling the Rona is Netflix's Tiger King. Maybe focus on that instead. If you haven't watched Tiger King on Netflix, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but I recommend you binge watch it as soon as possible. And then sit back and enjoy the memes on social media, and specifically if you go to Big Cat Rescue, Carol Baskin's Outfits Twitter account, check out those replies. And for the record, I totally think that Carol Baskin either killed her husband or had him killed and eaten by tigers. That's my guess. So let's get on with the episode. Today's episode, as the title suggests, is about Burger Chef. Specifically, it's about the Burger Chef murders. But first, if you're unfamiliar with Burger Chef, let's start there. Burger Chef began in 1957 in Indianapolis, Indiana. By 1973, they had 1,050 locations and were only second to McDonald's in number of restaurants. They even had a few locations here in Canada. It was started by Frank and Donald Thomas, who had patented an automatic conveyor belt flame broiler through their General Equipment Corporation that could roll out 800 patties an hour. They also made an automated milkshake machine that probably outperforms the clown machine of today. They had signature items like a double burger called the Big Chef, a quarter pounder called the Super Chef, and a works bar where you could put your own toppings on your burger. However unsanitary that is, I absolutely love that idea. Burger Chef had two mascots, the titular Burger Chef and his sidekick Jeff. No offense to any Jeffs out there, but it's not a great mascot name. I'd say the same if they named him Steve. But here's where I really get on board. In the early 1970s, they rolled out the Fun Burger and the Fun Meal, with packaging that included stories about Burger Chef and Jeff's adventures with their friends. Who are their friends, you ask? There was a magician, Burgerini, the vampire Count Fangburger, a talking ape named Burgerilla, and Cackleburger, the witch. The fun meals had riddles, puzzles, records, glasses, and small toys. They even had a cool Star Wars fun meal campaign you can see online. Actually, a lot of the fun meal items you can see on eBay. So when McDonald's introduced their Happy Meal many years later in 1979, Burger Chef sued but ultimately lost. But they flew too close to the sun by expanding too much too fast. And with declining profits in 1982, Burger Chef was sold for $44 million to the parent company of Hardee's, where many were converted to Hardee's, and the remaining ones that weren't converted were simply closed. It seems like a real goddamn shame that this chain failed. So, I think I can stop babbling about a defunct, albeit innovative, burger joint and get on to the murders. Friday evening, November 17th, 1978, in Speedway, Indiana, between 11 p.m. and midnight, four Burger Chef employees went missing. 20-year-old Jane Freed, 16-year-old Daniel Davis, 16-year-old Mark Flemons, and 18-year-old Ruth Ellen Shelton. Also missing was $581 from the petty cash. At first, they believed the employees were possibly responsible and had abandoned the restaurant to go party or something. And authorities weren't initially concerned as it was a small amount of money and there were no signs of struggle. It was strange, though, that the jackets and purses of the employees had been left behind. To make things worse, no crime scene photos were ever taken. The restaurant was cleaned and reopened as usual the next day. So the four did not return Saturday or go home. No one had heard from them, and one of the employee cars were found in town. It was then the situation began to look more serious. That Sunday, hikers found the bodies 20 miles away in the woods. Davis and Shelton had been shot execution style multiple times with a .38. Freed was found stabbed twice in the chest, and Flemons was bludgeoned with what authorities believed to be a chain, but died from choking on his blood. They were all still in their Burger Chef uniforms. Their wallets and jewelry had not been taken, which is odd if robbery had been the purpose of the crime. Also back at the restaurant, although the safe was cleaned out, the registers weren't. The authorities assumed that the four victims were kidnapped when issues arose during the robbery. Perhaps one or more employees recognized the suspects, and the robbers panicked. On the night of the crime, a 16-year-old saw two suspicious men outside of the Burger Chef before closing. Both were white, in their 30s. One had a beard, and one was clean-shaven with fair hair. Police had clay sculptures made based on the description. I think that's the first time I've ever heard of someone creating a clay bust of a suspect, rather than like a composite, like where they would just draw the picture. Anyway, months later, a man was bragging in a bar that he was involved with the murders. He was questioned by police. He passed a polygraph. No charges were laid. Guilty or not, he's a real shithead. For the rest of the episode, I'll refer to him a couple times. I'm just going to call him Shithead. The guy bragging in the bar, calling him Shithead. He did, however, give police a list of names of people allegedly in a fast food robbery gang. Some of the names matched potential suspects that the police were already looking at, and when following the leads, a man resembling the bearded suspect was found and requested to appear for a lineup. The night before he was to be in the lineup, he shaved for the first time in 5 years. Also, the bearded suspect's neighbor was named by the shithead bragging in the bar, and he had gone to prison for armed robbery. The shithead also named someone matching the fair hair suspect, who also ended up jailed for armed robbery of fast food joints. However, without confessions, even with offers of plea deals to any suspects not directly responsible for the killings, and without any direct physical evidence of the involvement of the suspects in the murders, the police were not able to successfully charge anyone. At the time, there were speculation that the murders were tied to other crimes that had shocked the town over preceding months, such as the murder of Julia Cyphers, and the Speedway bombings. At the time, the perpetrator of the bombings was still on the loose. However, these cases were subsequently found to be unconnected to the Burger Chef murders. After the initial investigation, authorities kept following leads and suspects and even expanded the search to Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Dallas. They were never able to find solid leads such as confessions or recover evidence such as the weapons used. The son of the bearded suspect had told police that his father confided in him that he had been involved prior to his own death. The shithead bragging in the bar eventually died from an alleged suicide close to the death of the bearded suspect, which was from a reported heart attack. Both of those deaths were very, very, very soon after the release of an armed robbery, of an armed robber who was one of the people that the shithead had named as a potential suspect. There is no evidence of anything other than the very suspicious timing that he was involved with the death of those two men. In the weeks following after the slayings, more than 36 detectives from 5 agencies, including the FBI, swarmed the case. With so many different people involved, there were many conflicting theories, all falling short of prosecution. Just before the 40th anniversary of the murders, police released a photo of the generic-looking 4.5-inch knife blade that had killed Jane Fried. The handle had broken off when she was stabbed, and it was never recovered. The picture was released in hopes that it would jog someone's memory. Now, I hope that these crimes are solved for the sake of the families left behind and bringing any killers to justice should they still be alive. The destruction of the crime scene was definitely a devastating setback to the case. And the fact that all of those agencies that were involved were unsuccessful leads me to believe it was more about the lack of evidence than the skill of the murderers. A Speedway police officer named Buddy Elwanger, who worked on the case, later put it, "We screwed it up from the beginning." So that's it, a real quick one. It was an unsolved case that I've been interested in for a while, and I didn't want to try to stretch it out into a 45-minute show. So I had it on my list for minisodes. Before we go, I'll make some recommendations, maybe under-the-radar ones, I don't know, to get you through, well, help get you through part of this whole social distancing. My first recommendation is a TV show, Banshee. It's a show so absurd that it doesn't matter, and it has all the feels of an 80s action movie. I found myself obsessed with the show, and I couldn't watch enough of it. And although it was absurd, I found it real easy to suspend my disbelief. In my mind, it might as well have taken place in a similar but different dimension than our own. It had over-the-top villains, heists, albinos, skinheads, hackers, Amish people, drug trafficking, murder, and so much more, all happening in this small-town America. And really, I can't recommend Banshee enough. It was so good. Another TV show that I don't think a lot of people watched, but I don't know. It was a good cop show. It was called Bosch, B-O-S-C-H. It's an Amazon Prime show. John Gabrus on Twitter, he was a huge Banshee fan. And when it was over, I tweeted him and I said, what do I do? What am I going to fill this Banshee-shaped hole in my heart with? And he recommended Bosch. It's very different, but it was definitely binge-worthy. Bosch feels like it's happening in our time, on our planet. For music, I just stumbled across this guy named Bonnie Prince Billy, and I really dig it. It's chill as fuck. And I don't know if people know about him. I have no idea. I just stumbled across it, and probably within this last week. What is time anymore, though, really? It could have been 3 days ago or 8. I don't know. But if you want to get hyped and just pumped up to the point that you destroy your house, check out Yankee and the Brave by Run the Jewels. It's a early track that was released from their much-anticipated RTJ4, which will be out later this spring. So those are my recommendations off the top of my head. Maybe next episode, if we're still going through this, I'll put more time into a recommendation list. Anyway, you can find me on Instagram at thisispotu, at thisispotu, and Hats is at Hats the Producer. Now, he actually deleted his old garbage posts, and he put up a new pic, so maybe this means his account's gonna get better? We'll see. But maybe. So that'll do it for this episode, and I guess we can end on G-Mac Cash and his song called Coronavirus. Until next time, stay indoors, stay safe, wash your hands all the time. Wash everything all the time. And if you have any recommendations on what I can binge during these times, let me know. Because I don't think I have any series going on right now, so I could use a new series. All right, until next time, if you don't know, now you know. Achoo!
Beats on the chat.
Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. I'ma chill at the crib cause I'm safe here. I ain't even about to drink me a Corona beer. I'm about to stay at the crib for about a year, and I ain't coming back out until this shit clear. I done bought me a mask and a lot of gloves, and I still feel like that is not enough. I ain't shaking no hands, I don't wanna hug. Make sure you wash your hands with a lot of love. So if you got that CV, they gon' find you. If you coughing, I ain't trying to be around you. I ain't even trying to stand beside or behind you. I'ma try to help them motherfuckers find you. I ain't even about to hop on no plane. I ain't even about to stand in the rain. I ain't getting on no train. I ain't even about to drive in my lane. I'm about to stay in the house and play the game. Bitch, move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus.